Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow, that was strong. Good morning, church. Good morning. Hey, good to see everybody. Thanks for that, Tom. I heard you above everybody else. So. Got some scripture here I'd like to read before we get started. One of my more favorite psalms is Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so this morning, just real quickly, David. He lists some of the benefits in this psalm, but there are others. So what are some of the benefits we receive from the Lord? Somebody shout it out. Healing, what else?
Joy.
Joy, what else?
Love,
what else?
Peace.
Peace. So many things that we forget that God has done for us. He heals all our diseases. He forgives all our sin. He redeems our life in the pit. Anybody been redeemed this morning?
Amen.
Amen. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. So this morning, as we connect with the Lord, let's remember the things he's done for us. We're taking communion today. What a great day to remember what Christ has done for us. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to reflect on your goodness, reflect on who you are. Lord, I just ask for a supernatural move of your spirit this morning as we seek you. Father, we just want to bless your heart. Lord, I lift up our good brother Marv as he brings the word this morning. Such a strong word, God. I pray that it just resonates with our hearts. Open up our minds, God, to receive what you have for us this morning. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I forgot to welcome those who are worshiping online with us this morning. Pray that you feel blessed in your homes. Let's stand and worship the Lord if you're able to.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And we sing,
because of this great truth that the loving grace of our God is greater than our propensity for sin. And let me say that a more simple way. God's love is greater than our ability to screw things up.
Amen.
And we come not by our own righteousness, but because of the Holy Spirit of God, which empowers us for righteousness. And we come together as a family, one body who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is what brings us together to praise and sing with a heart full of gratitude for all the amazing things God has done for us. And let's sing out this new song this morning, because there is joy in the house of the Lord. Going to invite you to be seated. We get to celebrate another family joining this amazing church, Jeff.
So first, I want to ask you, is there joy in the house of the Lord today?
Yes.
Amen. Do you feel that? Yes. You feel His Spirit here with us? There is nothing greater than that. You're right, church? I'm glad you're here, but I'm especially glad the Lord's here. All right, so I want to ask the Ingrams to come forward. New family. Awesome. This is John and Beverly Ingram. Come to join our church this morning. Woohoo! Yeah. First, I would say welcome. Glad that you're here. Y'all are both professing believers in Jesus Christ. He is your Lord and Savior. You have been baptized in that faith, and so we receive that into this place. So I just ask you again to affirm publicly and to this group, is Jesus still Lord of your life? Amen. Marv will preach about that a little bit more today, so we're excited about that. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We welcome. Y'all make sure that John and Beverly do not get out of this place today without you greeting them. So, children, come on up. We're going to meet Miss Carlene over here for Children's Church. I'm still the same guy that was just here, by the way. With Marv preaching today, everything's disheveled a little bit. Billy normally leads our prayer time, but I'm going to lead that today. You know, whatever we might have drug in with us today, did you know that sometimes the trials of life, we can just kind of drag around stuff? And I preached on this a couple of weeks ago that Jesus is the Lord of our burdens. We can lay those things down and let Him carry them. So I just want to go to the Lord. What a good and awesome God that we have, that we can take those things to Him. So if you'll just bow your heads with me, just spend a moment kind of just releasing those things, just the stresses of our week. Stress, it may be work or family or relationships or finances, whatever it is that we're struggling with, just kind of lay those down. Just say, Lord, I give those to you. Father, just reminded of your word that you draw near to the brokenhearted. You're the God of all comfort. You're the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you are that kind of a God. You are that kind of a Savior for us, that we don't have to carry this stuff. May your joy, the joy that's not the kind of joy that the world defines, but the joy that is from the Holy Spirit, may that well up inside of us, God. May you replace the fear and anxiety and anything that we carry around. May you replace that with your joy. Well that up inside of us, Lord. Forgive us for when we fail you, but thank you for loving us even when we do fail you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is nothing too difficult for you. We confess that not only is our world broken, but we're broken. We're a broken people. But you have come to make us whole. And we rejoice in that. Father, would you bless us that we might bless others for your sake and on your behalf? Your word says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. So, Father, may we be your representatives in a hurting world. May we be salt and light to a world that needs you, that has maybe perhaps forgotten you. Pray that you would indeed bless us thank you for the blessings you've already bestowed on us. And we pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A few things at the end of the service. I will be out this end of the foyer. Would love to greet our guests. Hope that you would feel welcome to come and greet and meet me. Also, there will be some people at the end of the service up front here that will be available for prayer. And this is, as we continue to worship, this is also a time we can worship through our tithes and offerings. There's tithing boxes at both of the doors. You can give online through our app as well. Rise if you're able as we worship.
By your mercy. Well, yeah, just quicker. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all. Your good smiling faces and expectant hearts. We all want to hear from the Lord, don't we, today in a brand new way. And I pray that I'm part of that. I'd invite you to join me in prayer as we begin. Lord Jesus Christ, you are indeed the Word became flesh. You dwelt among us, and you live in us by your Spirit, and we are your witnesses. We thank you, Lord, for not only the fact that we are your witnesses, but there have been others in our own past experience who have been Jesus to us, who have indeed lived their lives in Him and rooted and built up in Him, and in such a way that we saw you and we responded to you. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would speak today, that you'd speak in power and authority, that you'd minister to us right where we are, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reminded of a memory today that is as clear as if it happened yesterday or even this morning. I remember as a rather scared and insecure freshman on the campus of McMurray College, then university now, going to the college cafeteria. The cafeteria now, I think, is like an educational building. It was named after a benefactor. It was called Iris Graham, an interesting, wonderful place where the campus gathered to eat. And I came up the stairs looking for a friend, basically, and kind of, you know, I was the only kid from Stanford at the time, and so everybody there was a stranger, but I'd prayed that the Lord would lead me to someone who could be a good friend. Well, I got my tray, came out of the serving line, and came into the cafeteria and surveyed the scene. It was as you might expect, bedlam, because folks were talking and laughing and all of that, and I kind of came to I was facing east, the eastern part of the dining room, and another young man who is in my class had just sat down. I'd never met him before, but he put his tray down, and he took his seat, and he bowed his head quietly for prayer, and my eyes were drawn to him like a shot. You know, out of all the folks there, he was in the presence of the King, and I had to know this guy. I had to discover what it was that made him the kind of person he was that could take that stand even without saying a word. So afterwards, I followed him back to our dormitory, to Hunt Dorm, and I will say that conversation was the beginning of my steps toward new life in Christ. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget Roy and his bold stand. It really was. Even though he didn't stand up and witness, he spoke volumes in his submission to God. And so that's when I thought of that, I was reminded of this of this scripture passage that we're going to be looking at today. At first, I thought I'd preach a standalone message, but Jeff, your latest series, Jesus, Lord of All, got my attention. And so I think the Lord wants us to reflect on those last four messages and then by His grace move forward into the next chapter of our lives spiritually. So let's recap briefly the last four messages and the questions they raise. Jesus, Lord of my time. What does it mean, friends, to make my relationship with God the most important agenda item on my schedule? Have you thought about that? Jesus, Lord of my stuff. How do I trade the kingdom of thingdom for the kingdom Jesus offers? Jesus, Lord of my burdens. Am I willing to trade the yoke of my burdens for the yoke He offers me? Am I ready, as Jim Elliot once said, to give what I cannot keep, to gain what I cannot lose? And then Jesus, Lord of my thoughts, am I willing to receive Him as Lord of my mind, to allow freedom in Him to direct my thoughts in ways that please Him? If Jesus is truly our Lord, does our life truly reflect Him? And so we arrive at the scripture lesson for today, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Now today I'm going to be referencing some scripture. I don't have anything on the PowerPoint other than the main scripture. So you might want to get a pen and pencil and paper and write those scriptures down. I'll try to be intentional enough that you can get those, at least to write the chapter and verse down so you can think about it later. So our scripture lesson for today is Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And I'd like for us to read it together. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let me read this scripture in a couple of other versions. The one is the Living Bible. That's the Bible that I began to read as a new Christian several years ago. It says, And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. Let your roots go down deep into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that He has done. And then I want to read from the Message. This one speaks to me. Sometimes it comes out of left field, but I love that. You know, the way that Eugene Peterson is able to apply the words to our current situation. The Message says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master. Now live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians in response to news from his young disciple Epaphras, who was visiting Paul in prison. Epaphras had been mightily used by God to bring the good news to the Colossians, but false teachers who had infiltrated the church were trying to add to Jesus some rules which didn't come from Jesus. And so Paul argued in this letter that trying to add anything to Christ leads to subtracting the power that Jesus alone gives to lead the Christian life. You know, the temptation for the Colossians and for us is to turn the Christian life into a rule book. Do this, don't do that. And we know that we come into a relationship with Jesus by grace through faith, but then we fall back into depending upon good works to keep that relationship going. Now watch what Paul is saying here. We'll revisit this scripture, Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, so then, it's almost like a therefore, Jeff. You know, so then, as a result, just as, now pay attention to that, pay attention, just as in the same way, that's what he's talking about, in the same way that you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Our life in Christ is a grace-based, faith-based relationship. I want to remind you of Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. You might want to write that one down. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, which says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But you're probably saying, wait a minute, Marv. Doesn't he go ahead in verse 10 to talk about good works? Yes. But realize that God saved you not by good works, but for them. You do them because you are saved, not in order to be saved. And so these good works are the things that God prepared in advance for us to do in order to glorify God. And so Paul says, continue to live your lives in him in the same way in which you were saved, by grace through faith. Then he goes on. He goes on to that next verse. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Our lives of grace exist because we are rooted and built up in Jesus. It's interesting that Paul uses two distinctly different word pictures that really convey the same message. The first one is rooted. I'll take you to Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. That person, Psalm 1, verse 3, that person who lives his or her life in Christ is like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Paired with that is Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I don't know about you, but I have lots of volunteer trees. Anybody have those? They don't come up where you want them to come up, but they come up everywhere you don't want them to come up. They come up in your flower beds. They come up in your brick walkways. You know, if those suckers ever get their roots deep, they are almost impossible to pull out. Now, I'll take it from that negative standpoint to a positive one. As we continue to live our lives in Jesus, our roots will grow deep and the enemy can't dislodge them. Amen? Second, built up. Built up. I see the picture of a firm foundation and a reinforcing wall. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Pair that with Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, where it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." The third thing we realize is that we are strengthened in the faith. That's again in verse 7 of Colossians 2. Remember Ephesians 6, 10, that mighty scripture of spiritual warfare, 10 through 20. "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Just like the Roman legionnaires, we fight best when we fight together and we stand together. The fourth part of this is overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Hello? But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. All right. You remember those four? Those four were built, rooted, built up, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with thankfulness. The great Bible commentator, Dr. Matthew Henry, was once robbed as he walked along a highway. And afterwards, he told his friends there were four things for which he could give thanks. Number one, he was grateful he'd never been robbed before. You know, this after many years of life, this was the first time he had been robbed, and for this he was grateful. Secondly, he said, though they took all my money, I'm glad they didn't get very much. And that was something to be thankful for, right? Thirdly, he said, though they took my money, they didn't take my life. And I'm grateful for that. And finally, he suggested, I'm thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Now, there's a man who learned to be overflowing with thankfulness. And so we come to the Lord's table this morning for two things. We come to remember and we come to receive. To remember and to receive. We remember what Paul is saying to us. Let's go back to that scripture again, 2:6-7. You received Jesus Christ the Master, now live in Him. Live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. So we come to remember, but we also come to receive. To receive His body and blood freely given for us. His strength in us. The strength we need to live our lives in Him. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the foundation You have laid, Lord. You have laid that foundation of trusting You to save us. But we thank You, Lord, for the fact that that trust expresses itself in being rooted deeply in You and also being built in You into a spiritual house. Lord, we know that that's the only way to survive the culture in which we're in, to depend on Your power, to strengthen us for the life ahead, and to know, Jesus, that You are indeed Lord of everything that we are and also of everything we will ever face. And so we thank You for that. And we thank You for this meal, for the opportunity that we have again to say to You, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You every hour. I need You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and let the people of God say, Amen.
Amen. You know, as Marv was preaching that word, and we come to this meal today, I was reminded that the night that Jesus was betrayed and all of his disciples except John deserted Him, Peter denied Him. As before all that happened, and Jesus knew it was going to happen, He washed the disciples' feet. Now, when he finished doing that, he became their servant, the lowest of the low. He became their servant, and he served them by washing their feet. And he was getting ready to present this meal to them, knowing what was going to happen the next day. And here's what he said, and when he completed washing their feet, he said, "I, as your Lord and Savior, have done this. You should do as I do." So as Lord, as Jesus, as our Lord, and I love that, what you said, the quoted, school is out. Mm-hmm. Jesus has taught us through this meal, through the sacrifice of this meal, what we are to do, that we are to be a living sacrifice to the world. Amen. So we come tonight, today, to partake of this meal. And on that night, when Jesus, again, he's sitting around with these men that have seen him walk on water. They've seen him heal the blind. They've seen him raise the dead. And yet they will desert him. He sees them, and he knows what's going to happen. And that very night, sitting around them, he breaks the bread. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you." He knew what that meant, that the next morning his body was going to be broken physically for us. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood." And he had seen, you didn't live in that region without having witnessed a crucifixion. The Romans didn't just want to execute people, they wanted to make a statement. He had seen, he knew what awaited him. He knew that it was going to cost him a broken body and spilt blood. And he blessed it and he said, "This is my the cup of the new covenant established and poured out for you." So if you will pray with me. Father, I thank you for this costly and precious meal. You said, Jesus, when we are to partake of this, that we are to remember you, remember the sacrifice, remember how much you love us. So would you make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us? We come to you not as a perfect people, but as a redeemed people, redeemed by this meal, by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's in that precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So I invite you as we, that invitation is from Christ for this table. It's not my invitation. It's not our church's invitation. You do not have to be a member of our church to partake of this meal. If you are, if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. It's also okay if you do not wish to partake. That is up to you, but I hope that you feel welcome to do that. It's called an open table to all who believe. So if our servers will come forward now. Christ our Lord has invited us to this table. These two stations here and these two stations over here, you will be given a piece of bread and you can dip the bread into the cup and partake in that manner. The center section here, the center aisle, you can come there. If you want the individual elements, you can come and be served there. If you go ahead and receive those and return to your seat to open and partake of those, and then you can discard your empty on your way out from the service today. The altar rail is open. Jesus has given us this invitation. Come.
Saved a wretch.
I pronounce the benediction, I want to... Are we on? Are we live? Good. Okay. If you can hear me, it's fine. I won't use a Jeffism. Arliss, is this? No. I want you to know that if there is something unresolved that you have carried in here and you need to give it to the Lord, we have some folks after the service who are here specifically to pray with you about anything that you have on your heart. I appreciate the fact that this church literally has that kind of ministry of prayer. And so don't leave this place until you've had the opportunity to seek one of them out. They'll be here in front of the altar rail. And I think Jeff will be over in the foyer to welcome any visitors. I think he has a gift for you. And we're just grateful to be the body of Christ for such a time as this. Would you receive the benediction? Just like you received Christ Jesus the Lord, go on living in Him in simple faith. Grow out of Him as a plant grows out of the soil it is planted in, becoming more and more sure of your faith. If you do this, your lives will overflow with joy and thankfulness. And may the mercy of the Father, the love of Jesus Christ, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit surround you and uphold you wherever you go. Go and tell someone. You're dismissed.
Amen.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.